Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We're going to do something different and fun right now, and we're going to do it for our D.C. listeners because my career was most of it in Washington, D.C. We were syndicated nationally after being in Washington, D.C. for a number of years, and recently a legendary media person in Washington, D.C. passed away. His name was Jim Vance, and he was from the local television station Channel 4, NBC 4 in Washington, D.C., and it made me reflect on the heyday of television broadcasting in Washington, D.C., and there was a time when Channel 4 was it, and they just had everybody hitting on all eight cylinders. Jim Vance was there. George Michael was there. And there was a guy that we used to pray on the old Don and Mike show would cover us, give us just one story, and his name was Arch Campbell, and Arch is with us right now. Let me give you a little background. Hi, Arch Campbell!
You still do me?
I still do you. I still do the impression of you. Let me tell our listeners around the country who Arch is. Arch has reported on movies, theater, and entertainment in D.C. and nationally since the 70s.
The Washington Post. Late 50s.
It was the late 50s. The Post calls him a local legend. I do, too. He has appeared regularly on Washington television for more than 40 years. And we thought it would be a great idea to get Arch to come on and not just talk about Vance and what he meant to Arch, but the fact that all those great guys and what it was like to work at a radio station during those years where everybody was just... you guys were stars. You were local stars.
It was the best. It was the best.
And I want to mention, too, that you and Mike were huge stars. And I fondly remember your radio show, which started on WAVA, which I think now is a religious station. But you guys, you know, back in those days, there was so much great radio on the air. I am remembering the first time I came over to be on the Don and Mike show, and I think it was like 81 or 82. And it was National Nudist Week. Do you remember this?
I remember this appearance.
We started in 85, Arch. It was later, and just remember, I'm the Mike half, not the Don half. So when you say you and Mike, you know, it's like, Don's not here, Arch. I just want to make sure you're aware of that.
No, Don's not there. Don, by the way, hates me. But, you know, we do. So it's perfectly all right.
You know what, Arch? I congratulate you for being in an exclusive club, but you're not.
Visit, it was National Nudist Week, and you had the president, a woman of the National Nudist Society, and she was in there nude, and she looked like Buddha. Had come to visit you and taken off all of her clothes. I was just thinking, well, this is it. This will be the end of my career.
Arch, it's great to have you.
Showing up and getting into the studio and taking all their clothes off. And one of them was a hot young girl, took everything off. And so I just spent the rest of the morning staring at her.
Oh!
End of that morning?
Arch,
I
remember.
Put your clothes back on.
I remember it like it was yesterday, Arch. Let me ask you some questions, Arch. I want to ask you some questions, and I want you to answer them for me, because were there... NBC4, you're there 32 years, and
2 years, right.
The thing that jogged me to get you on is you put up a post about your last night on Channel 4, and you said that the news director didn't want it to air, and Vance interceded on your behalf, and I went back and watched that, and at the end of it, I said this on your Facebook page, I had tears in my eyes because it was so beautifully old school TV, where you had You had you. It was Jim Vance. It was our friend Susan Kidd, who mm-hmm. we used to talk to all the time, and King George, George Michael, and Bob Ryan and back of you. And the thing is, these were larger than life personalities. And when that happens, I think at this stage of my career, I point it out because there's not a lot of it. You gotta remember when you get it. And they had it at Channel 4, and well, it was a great send off for you.
And I think they posted it because of the death of Jim Vance. And that happened about 10 years ago. And then a few months later, George Michael was ushered out of the building because the Sports Machine had, he did this Sunday night show, the Sports
right.
Machine, and it brought in a lot of revenue. So he could have a huge staff because of that. And the Sports Machine was canceled. And they told him his staff was going to have to go. And he says, well, if you're going to fire the staff, you may as well fire me.
That's and right.
So a few months later, George left. Both of us had been there. I was there 32 years. George was there 25 or more. And
right.
the unwinding of that team, which started yep. then, it all came back a couple of weeks ago when Jim Vance died. We were put together in 1980 by a really smart general manager. And I remember he called us all in. He said, look, we're not going to beat Channel 9, which was the dominant station then,
right.
One-on-one, but we will best them as a team. So he said, I'm going to put you guys together as a team. I'm going to go with Vance. It's going to be George Michael, Bob Ryan, who had come there because Willard Scott went to the Today Show,
right.
and me. They called me in. They said, we want you to be on the end of the 6 and on the end of the 11. We want you. And the guy, John Rohrbeck, who put us together, had come from L.A. He said, I want you to talk about entertainment. I want you to talk about movies. I want you to cover events that are going on in town. And so we got together in 1980, and gradually we all came to be friends and to respect each other, and that lasted until that night where that posting was, which was 26 years later. The thing that I really remember about Vance is, first of all, the news director looked at that piece, and she was someone who had come in a year or so earlier, and they didn't know the history, and they didn't
right.
know the struggle that we had to surpass Channel 9, and they didn't care about the chemistry or the team. All the general manager at the time said, I've got to hit a number. That's it. You're out. We're paying you too much money, Art, so I got to hit a number, and that's it. And that is a big change in television and radio. It's not about talent anymore. It's about saving money. So anyway, the point is, she didn't want to run it. She says, this will reflect badly on the station. And I'm thinking,
God.
Wow.
You idiot. It's going to reflect badly on the station. What did you fire me for?
So she didn't. Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait, hold on. So she didn't want to, the news director, this is like PDs and radio too.
Yeah.
She
right.
didn't want to spotlight
exactly.
the fact that she was kicking you out when the fact
exactly.
is that she
exactly.
thought it would be better for the, it's just the absurdity of it. And by the way, the piece that Arch played was as benign
classy.
And as non-threatening and as classy.
Yeah.
I
had done, and I ended up by saying, I packed up my office, I'm marching into the future. Because what else are you going to say? I'm going to
sure.
leave and jump off the roof and kill myself.
How did Vance intercede, Arch? How did Vance intercede on your behalf with that? What was the story behind that?
And then he said, I don't care what you think. We got to run this piece. Let him have his say. And she said, okay.
Wow.
That's wonderful. That's
so
wonderful.
Cool.
Let's talk for a second about Jim Vance. We're with Arch Campbell, who's a legendary feature reporter in Washington, D.C. And let's talk about Vance and George. Those guys, they were bigger than life. Vance had the cool. George had the bombastic personality. And,
right.
You had to have some pretty crazy stuff happen during your 30-plus years at Channel 4 with guys like that around.
Well, the secret of going on the air and performing with those guys out there is you had to keep their attention, and you had to keep them laughing. One of my all-time favorite nights, you know, during sweeps, I would run foreign commercials. It was foreign commercial night.
I remember.
Do you remember this?
I do.
Right.
And there was one from Brazil. A woman is saying, I won't have sex with you unless you wear a condom. She's saying that in Spanish, so, you know, it's not that clear. She takes a condom and she blows it up like a balloon. And then she says, no condom, no sex. And she lets all the air condom. I come back. It was Swedish. It was a Swedish commercial.
Okay.
That's, I had written matter. This line, all those wacky Swedes. So I come back, and there's a split second on the air. And then way over to my right, because George was on the other side of the set, I hear George go, huh! I did a spit take. And then I said, oh, those wacky Swedes.
It was fun.
End of the news, and they just go out, and everybody's got their head down on the set. And it was a natural moment. You couldn't script it if you tried.
Right.
Right. And it was fun. And that was the best part. I mean, I love the fun with that. And, you know, and Vance himself was, here's my memory of Jim Vance and the fact, first of all, we had you. We would get Wendy Rieger. Mm. We would have Susan Kidd come on. We'd get so many people to chant. But Vance was always a tough nut to crack because Vance danced to his own drummer. That man knew, I mean, my impression of him, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, he knew who he was, and you saw what you saw was what you got. And then when I got a chance to finally meet him a few years back at a motorcycle rally, I thought he was the same cool guy that you saw. He had cool. And there are not many people that really have that on, especially anchormen. He had a cool about him that didn't exist anywhere. I've never seen it in any market, much less D.C. It was fantastic.
What he did is, you know, he came to work at Channel 4 in 1969 and in 1972. And remember, those dates are important. You know, D.C. in the early 70s, the riots that happened in 68, the government was pushing for diversity in radio and television. Mm-hmm. Vance became an anchor man, and he was a black anchor guy in a white business. Most anchors were sort of bland white guys.
Right.
Vance went out there and he had edge. So when I first came there in 1974, you would do a story, and if he didn't like it, he would say on the air, "That was a terrible story."
How can we do that? Love that. Nobody do that today.
Right.
Does that.
It's incredible. I mean, he's really, really a wonderful guy. Rob, I know you're a connoisseur. You lived here all your life.
I'm a lifelong D.C. guy. And also, Arch, I think I mentioned this to you before, is that growing up, we were a Channel 4 house. So that was the station we always watched. There was always a magical moment on Friday night when when you would do your piece, you'd do your movie reviews, and then we knew that music would play and Johnny was coming on. And it was that magical, you know, great moment in just, you know, D.C. broadcasting it. You would be on, and Vance would be there, and King George, and Bob Ryan, and then you floated right into Johnny Carson. It didn't get any better. When you guys finally were put together in 1980, was the chemistry instant, or did you kind of build to it? And when did you realize you four guys had something?
I think in 1980, when they put us together, we knew that we had to do what it was going to take to make this work. So everybody made an effort to be friends. George would have us over to his house for dinner. Vance would have us to his house for dinner. I used to, we used to get together. Vance and I would go to the movies, that sort of thing. Because you got what people don't remember now and will never remember is the struggle at Channel 4 in the 70s. We used to say, you remember Patty Hearst?
Yeah, sure.
Socialite and the Symbionese Liberation Front kidnapped her, and suddenly she was robbing banks. We used to say in the 70s, when Patty Hearst was on the lam from the FBI, She anchored the 5 on Channel 4. Nobody could see her.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Now that joke has been updated. Now, it's, if you want the latest version, it's when Osama bin Laden was in hiding anchored the 4 on Channel 7. He knew nobody would find
little
him.
Little dick. Arch, what are you... Arch, I want to get some plugs in for you. What are you? You're doing a Rob tells me you're doing a podcast now, and then go ahead,
Mike. I wanted to do this with you because number one, I'm a longtime fan of yours and a fan of the Don and Mike show.
Thank you.
And you were on a TV show I did because you had started this podcast, and so you're
right.
You're one of the first guys to go to a podcast, and I've been floating around not doing much for the last couple of years, and our friend Tony Kornheiser has opened a studio for podcasters, and he's put me together with Ann Hornaday, who is very smart and reviews the movies at the Washington Post. So me and Ann Hornaday and Mark Stern, I don't know if you know Mark or not, work with Tony years and years, very funny guy. The three of us,
yep.
We do a one-hour once a week show on movies, and we talk about movies, and Ann and I agree and disagree, and then we talk about cable and streaming and stuff we're doing, and then we talk about who died this week, sort of the Irish sports page.
That's right.
That's
Irish
hilarious.
Sports page. That's
we
well,
come
you
up
know,
with a new closing every week. My latest closing was, I'm Arch Campbell. Remember, don't strain your ovaries.
That's why I love the man.
A little button, something.
Give me the name of the podcast. What is the name of the podcast so people can find it?
At the Movies with Arch and Ann.
At the Movies with Arch and Ann. And I have to mention to you.
Your listeners to subscribe,
yes.
Even if you don't listen. If I get enough subscribers, I can make a few bucks on this.
There you go. That's great. I like that.
Amazon is doing you, right?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are doing us every day, Arch. I have to tell you this. When you mentioned me and being a pioneer, I got to mention Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, who have been with me from the very beginning of this. And Oscar was the one who came up with the idea of getting me on a podcast. And so when somebody tells me you're one of the first to do that, I got to give credit where credit is due and give credit to Oscar Santana, who brought this concept to me when I didn't know anything about it. So he's the one that did this. Before I get you out of here, Arch, I want to make sure that I ask you about your movie. You're a movie guy. You've been reviewing movies forever, and I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't let Arch Campbell ask him the question before he gets out of here. What is your all-time go-to favorite movie in your world, Arch Campbell?
Oh,
we have to get that from you.
Oh,
I know it's tough. I bet.
Man.
And I know you don't get asked it all the time.
I get that question a lot. Of course, I always fade it.
I know you would.
It changes. It changes all the time. Mm-hmm. But I would say there's an old one I like called The Third Man. Yeah. If you ever want to watch a really great classic.
Oh, you're making Rob Spiewak happy right now.
Yeah.
You're making Rob Spiewak
happy. Great music. Great music in that film.
Is that black and white, Rob?
Black and white? Joseph Cotton. All
classics. I like Being There with Peter Sellers. That's
great
one of my
movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
And,
that is
And I like whatever I saw that really got... This year, I like the movie Get Out. If you only see one movie this year...
That is
year,
a good movie. That's the movie where they go to the house in the woods.
Yes. Yeah, with the girlfriend. Girlfriend's family, yeah.
Black, that is a great movie.
All the
that
folks don't know, but it'll be okay. And that movie kicks ass.
Yeah,
I wanna
it's fantastic.
Say, when I knew I was going to talk to you, I started remembering about the wonderful days of DC radio in the 80s when you guys were at your peak. And you had all this competition. There was so much good radio back then.
Sure was.
And I really missed those days. But I loved your radio show. And, I'm glad that podcasting is available to continue that style of radio because it's sure not on terrestrial anymore.
No, it's not, and this is where people consume it now.
Or,
and I, and, and I, Yeah, it's they can't get it anywhere. They can't get it anywhere on the radio anymore. And Arch, for you, and I'll leave you with this because you know this is my personality. I can only wish you that your podcast will someday be as wildly successful as mine is. I truly hope.
Mike!
I can only wish that, too. You know, the thing I really miss about those years at Channel 4 is the money. I used to.
On that note,
through the door, and I put dollars. I'll tell you what I think of Hollywood's latest blockbuster. Yeah. Talk about my $3 for $5 get acquainted special. I'll be in your neighborhood soon.
Arch Campbell,
movie review.
We love you, Arch. I love you, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And that was so sweet of you to come on. And continued success to you. You are a legend, and thank you for joining us, Arch Campbell. We appreciate it.
You know how I feel about you, and Don, too. You know,
thank
God bless you both.
Thank you, Arch. Thank you. That's wonderful. Arch Campbell, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, start the show, you, huh?
You guys.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Tonight on Murder, She Wrote.
What's your angle on this, Mrs. Fletcher? Oh, I know. Never hurts to steal from the headlines, right?
Excuse me?
No, you're researching a new book. Murder on the Great White Way, that sort of thing, right?
Guilty as charged, Mr. Cullen. But, of course, as you know, in mysteries, timing is of the utmost importance.
Yeah, naturally.
I mean, for example, what time did Mr. O'Mara leave here last night after he finished his review?
Oh, he didn't come in here at all. He wrote at home.
Oh, I see. You mean a messenger picked up his review?
No. We're all on computers now. You see, O'Mara wrote his reviews on his home computer and then sent it in here by modems over the telephone.
Oh, my goodness, how modern.
Yeah, the reviews came in on a printer like this one. Oh, those machines can do anything except write. But some of our reporters can't do that either, so... But the machines check out the spelling, and they even note the time pieces come in here.
And what time did Mr. O'Mara's review come in last night?
Let's see. 11:15. Oh, I see what you're getting at. He must have died right after that. Talk about going with your boots on.
Nancy Sinatra.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara. Rob Spiewak. Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
That little Nancy Sinatra. Boots are made for walking. That's cool. Live from the Fiverr Studio. At our nation's capital, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. Worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. And if you're here, you're in the know. We are on air, on demand, heard 24/7. Don't forget our new TMOS app update. Update it now and get our show all day, every day. Reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. We're on now, and we're brought to you by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible. Do you have the whole song, by the way?
I do.
Yeah, just keep it going in the background. Right. They make it accessible to everyone. It's the better way to cook. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients so you can make delicious home-cooked meals. Choose from a variety of new recipes each week or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes don't repeat within a year, so you'll never get bored. And with no weekly commitment, you'll only get deliveries when you want them. It's a better way to cook. How about this? This is delicious. Sautéed shrimp and green beans with globe tomatoes, spinach, and orzo pasta. Or whole grain pasta and summer vegetables with heirloom tomato caprese salad. I bet it's better than what you're having in your fridge right now. Check out this week's menu and get three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. Keep the music up because I want to welcome everybody to the Mike O'Mara Show. And I also want to do something that that I rarely get to do on the Mike O'Mara Show, which is, you know, we talk. We occasionally can sing.
Yes.
But one of the things, you know, this is just for the people that watch it on video, we don't really get a chance to dance. Because, I mean, we're sitting down, and, you know, we really don't get a chance
it's
to do that.
It's not the world of dance.
Here we go.
And I know we've got a delay, but, you know, I just thought that maybe I could give you a little bit of this, you know. She's going to do another lyric, and then I'm going to do the dancing part with Nancy.
Are you actually wearing boots?
By the way, if I'm clapping along, I'm going to clap along to the beat. How far off am I?
Half a beat.
Yes.
Okay. So
actually, Mike, that would be the same if Mac tried to clap on beat in studio.
So do I do it slower?
Faster.
Faster. All right, good.
That's crazy!
To see it happen.
You are such a drummer. You can do that.
Figure it out.
Oh, here we go.
I got to do this in order to do this to the... to the thing. That's right. Because if I do the beat right, I can do my dance number.
Okay.
You know? And that's all this is for. This is it. This is all I'm doing. This is the whole thing. Okay.
Start walking.
It's the Watusi.
I think technically he's doing the monkey.
Is it?
I think it's the monkey. With a touch of the Froog.
I'm halfway through the Blue Apron spot, and that's all I can think of.
So you're going to dance
that, like they do the
What's the Watusi then?
The Watusi is, I think, more of a twist-based dance.
Oh, what's the African anteater dance?
You would have to show me that.
That's from Can't Buy Me Love.
No idea.
How great was it to have Arch on? Wasn't that fun?
Really,
you know what?
I know that you worked with him as concurrent in the showbiz industry. For me, he's my childhood.
Oh my God, that was so cool.
Yeah, that is so neat to talk to him.
I actually dorked out with Arch one time when he was...
Did you do the anteater dance?
WHFS would send me to all the movie premieres, right?
Oh, the Wednesday night screenings?
Yes. Yeah. And I'd have to be like, thanks for coming out to the screen, all that BS, throw out t-shirts, and then sit down and watch a movie. But Arch would come to those sometimes, depending on when his schedule would allow. Mm-hmm. And I remember... having a backwards visor on, a WHFS t-shirt and shorts, because that's what your uniform was when you were a promo kid.
Street team. Right.
Yeah, and walking up to Arch in his fedora and saying, you are one of my broadcast heroes. And he was so kind. He sat there and talked
to me.
He was
very kind.
And then he asked me where the reserve seating was.
Yeah. And Arch had me on his TV show a while back, and he is...
he's great.
What you see, here's the thing about Vance, genuine. Arch, and George Michael. You got the person, and believe me, I think they could all three of them at one time or another probably be like any talent, pains in the asses. But you know, they were bigger than they were personalities.
Yeah,
I did an impression of Arch Campbell because I loved it. I loved that I could get a guy that was on local television that was so fantastic. There was another guy, Dave Marish, who was another spectacular personality, but because he had this unique demeanor. And then now it's all 135-pound guys that are impossible to impersonate.
Do you think, Mike, there will ever be a time in broadcasting that a major market, a top 10 market, would employ a Davey Marlin Jones?
No,
it could never happen anymore.
No. But the thing is, and you know, you go back and when you lose these guys, and we lost Glenn Brenner, another legendary sportscaster in town that I had the pleasure of knowing, because they were massive personalities. So when you would book an anchor or a sports guy to come on your show, you were getting guys that knew, I'm on TV, you're on the radio, I'm bigger than life, and I'm bigger than you. And we lapped it up.
Sure.
We loved it because they knew that
they're superstars.
They conducted themselves like they were nationwide movie stars. That's the way these guys. The funniest story I have with Glenn Brenner, I think it was was it Bethesda Sport and Health? It was one of the gyms that opened up in Bethesda, Maryland.
Right.
And we got a free membership, and I rolled in there one day to work out, and I'm coming down the stairs, and Brenner was bench pressing. And saw me. And, you know, these are guys that are always on. And I see Glenn Brenner, who was a great sports guy, but more important, he was like a stand-up comedian that did sports.
Funny, so funny.
He was funnier than it was sports. And he sees me, and I'm coming in. I get halfway down the stairs, and I see him lifting the weight and looking up at me, and he goes, 350, 360.
And I got that. I got that. All for me. All for me.
Did a show
the,
for you.
The legendary sports guy that was there. And he was just a great guy. George was a very big part of Don and my career and got involved with WJFK, with Alan Goodman. Yeah. And I'll never forget when George came into the GM's office and was pointing around. He said, you ought to double his salary. He points at Geronimo. He goes, you ought to double his salary. And then he points over at me and said, and you ought to triple his for legitimizing him. And it was just... It was so cool to have guys like that. And then Vance was the tough nut to crack. And I remember Vance was the TV guy that never let you forget. Mm-hmm. He was on TV.
Yeah.
So Arch would do a special on the Don and Mike show. We played a clip of it one time where it's like, well, okay, Arch, that's radio. This is TV, folks.
Yeah.
And it's like, it
just
was
totally
going,
dismissive.
F you, radio guys, but it was Vance, and I got, you know, it really, really great to do, take a trip down memory.
Could I ask a request a story, because it's one of my favorites, is the April Fool's joke with George Michael?
He came in on April Fool's Day and took over the radio station. And, you know, we didn't, were we in on the joke? I don't even remember.
You were actually, I have the tape and I know it's a little ham handed to work
but I mean,
in.
George, but we look with Don and we look, when you're doing mornings and you're getting up 3:30 in the morning, you know, the best thing somebody can do for you in get an automatic yes is to say, you don't have to come in.
Yeah, it was
April 1st.
And
so, yeah, April 1st is like, we'll have George Michael. And we're like, Don and I'm like, yes, yes, that'll be perfect.
Because it was 1988. You guys were at the top of your power, but also George was at the top of his power, too.
Yeah.
And George was, before he became a TV sports guy, George Michael, Channel 4's George Michael, and the Sports Machine.
Oh, National
George
Sports
Michael
Machine. Yeah.
Was a nationally syndicated television show that loads of people watched. And George, prior to being TV Sports, was a legendary DJ at WABC
and
New York.
WFIL Philadelphia as
and
well.
WFIL Philadelphia. And we called him King George because he was kind of the king. And he always had the DJ thing. And DJs love talking up records.
Yeah.
That's why I love talking up records. And George loved it as much as anybody. And you'll hear the incredible reverb that we ran on WAVA, which was like, hey, everybody, make it bigger than it is. And George came in on April Fool's and did his little shtick. And this is George substituting for Don and Mike on the old WAVA. People that have listened to me for a long time will get a kick out of this.
Listen, folks, I thought we ought to explain what's going down here. It's April Fool's Day. The fact is that Don and Mike are on thin ice. Alan Goodman called and said, listen, they've alienated everybody. They have made enemies of everybody. They are idiots. They are immature. We need a grown, mature adult, someone that can bring the proper approach to Power 105, and that's why I'm here. And with that, I say good morning on wonderful WAVA.
Mature adult is here on Power 105 to do what he was put on earth to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I was born to be wild.
George Michael, famous 56, so good to hit my hand.
On Power 105, the Angels, my boyfriend's back in town, so get out of here because he's going to kick your behind. It's a Friday. I'm George Michael, April Fool's Day, 1988. Mick Jagger, Rolling Stones, Friday. I ain't got no love because there ain't nobody around to give me no satisfaction. Stoned and rolling, Mick Jagger and friends, getting thyself satisfied. Put your hands on the radio so that I, George Michael, can feel you listening out there this morning. I'm going to take you on a train ride. You're on a Friday morning love train ride on Power 105 WAVA. I'm George Michael. I just missed all the commercials. I missed all the news. I missed all the weather. I missed all the sports. But I'm having some damn much fun. I can't stop now. Mitch Ryder, he's going to help me because I'm looking for the devil. Mitch Ryder, Detroit Wheels, I'm George Michael of Power 105 WAVA. Alan Goodman asked me if I'd come in because they need a good, grown, mature adult to do it in a proper adult manner, so I'm doing what comes naturally. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here at Power 105 on this April Fool's Day, I want all of you ladies who are going to be walking around town today to practice doing your stuff. Stomach in, chest out,
Make that bra snap, Gertie.
Judy in the sky.
All right, you know, it really, 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 really
very cool.
Did it just to do it. Did it because he wanted to. Did it because he wanted to have some fun. And by the way, we're for those people that you know say, "Hey, Mike, you talk up records real well." Well, I got news for you. Don Geronimo talked up records better than anybody I've ever worked with in modern times, and I got a chance to work with him, and he learned what he did from guys like George Michael. Oh, there's no original idea in radio, folks. The fact is, we all love doing it. There's nothing I like better than talking up records.
Tight
I've
as
proven
a tick.
That on this show.
He is but tight the, as a tick,
but
baby.
But George, these guys on WABC, oh my God, Ron Lundy, George Michael, all these guys, Cousin Brucey, you know,
Harry Harrison,
these guys, and you know, they
Dan
were great
Ingram
at it.
Are the best.
And so, yeah, a little trip down nostalgia. And, we got to take a break.
We really
we
do.
Are up on a break there. But thanks to all those guys.
Very
and
cool.
It makes me feel a little melancholy. It's a Melancholy Friday on the Mike O'Mara Show. I'll tell you why when we come back. Virginia, California,
home of mine. It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Gary Stein.
And on this week's episode of the show, my tribute to Bruce Springsteen.
You think he'd think it was a tribute?
Probably not. Also, we talked to a Boy Scout from New Jersey who, frankly, taunts me.
I taught him well.
Yes, you did. And salute to many listeners who contribute to our show on a daily basis. We love you, and we're going to call you out by name. Check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes.
Marvel
and download
Steve.
The Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show. Ah.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by That's It. Have you ever read the ingredients on the label of your snacks? It's horrible. Added sugars, preservatives, concentrates, yuck.
Yeah.
That's why I want to tell you about some amazing fruit bars that I found. They're called That's It. A bunch of the guys got them at Starbucks the other day and devoured them.
Oh, yeah.
The only ingredients are fruit and fruit. That's it. That's why it's called That's It.
That's it.
You can find them at Whole Foods, CVS, Starbucks, and you will love them. My favorite flavor is the apple blueberry. Absolutely delicious. They are a great way to satisfy your sweet tooth. No added sugars or preservatives, which I don't understand how they get that much explosive flavor without added sugar or preservatives. They're incredible. Perfect for a grab-and-go breakfast, after school snack, or after the gym. Convenient to carry. They're great for kids. They are explosive with flavor. Plus, it's an easy and delicious way to get that serving of fruit in your diet that you're missing. And by the way, when you bite into a That's It fruit bar, you're not even going to think about what you're missing or nutrition or anything, because you're just going to think, this is one of the greatest snacks I've ever enjoyed. That's It is offering my listeners an amazing deal. Go to thatsitfruit.com and enter the code TMOS at checkout to save 10% off your order. Do what we did and try these bars. You're going to love them. Again, go to thatsitfruit.com, enter the code TMOS at checkout to save 10% off your order. Your taste buds and your body will thank you.
They be on the International Space Station, Mike. Did you know that?
That's so
astronauts
exciting,
eat them up there. It's a fantastic.
That is so very thrilling to me. Melancholy, I mentioned because, you know,
sad,
reflecting
right?
on Vance and George Michael, sad, right? And tomorrow's the day, final closure. We send my mom into the bay here in Frenchman's Bay. So I'm just, you know, it's. I just want it to be a nice morning. We've got a very, very lovely thing planned. I won't go into the details with you, but then she will be scattered into the bay up here, and it'll be a beautiful time. But I'd be lying if I said, you know, I don't come to you this week, kind of wigged out a little bit, because it's difficult. It's difficult, and it's kind of a finality that we have. And I will share a story with you that my sister shared with me. My mom, and I wish that I can pull this off for my kids sometime. My mom literally arranged every single solitary detail of how things would happen after she passed away. And right down to, you know, she picked out the urn that she was going to be in with her ashes when after she was cremated. She picked out the music at her funeral. She picked out every single
wow.
detail. And when they were doing this, like picking out the urn, which I just love the story that she picked it out. I mean, she didn't have any fear of passing away. She didn't have any fear at all. I can't tell you how she got there, but I think maybe a little bit had to do with her faith. But at the same time, she was probably tougher than I ever gave her credit for. And, you know, just to be able to do this.
This is the most remarkable piece of unselfishness that you can do. Because
phenomenal.
To burden your family, and you know, most people, you have a general idea of how you want a funeral to go. And I've been in on the planning of some funerals, and it is the worst job. Because the burden of trying to make it right to honor and to make it right
she'd
for the
like
people
this.
That,
yeah, she'd like this.
This is
she'd
how
like she,
this is how he'd want it. Well, you don't know. It's a burden.
So, I'm not sure if I've got the story right. My sister would probably tell the story a little bit better, but they're going in to like pick out urns for ashes.
Oh my
and
God.
Stuff like that. And my mom was not at this point terminal. She was older,
right?
But she made all the arrangements and she, of course, charmed everybody there because there's an appreciation they have for getting their work done out of the way.
Front loaded.
And a guaranteed paycheck. And the fact is, and so it went like this. Oh, Mom, what is that? She says, oh, I'm not sure. My sister says something like, I'm not sure. This is going to be sad. This is going to be tough. Do we have to do that today? She goes, listen, let me just get out of the way. I'll pick out the urn. We'll go get sushi. I'll buy you sushi. That's what she
awesome.
Said. So, I mean, tomorrow is the day we're going to have all the kids are going to be down there, and it's going to be.
So you got a pretty full house
this weekend.
Full house.
Are you going to do the bit that we like worked out here on one of the episodes?
You mean where I actually take fake ashes and. Oscar, unfortunately,
it would require
the kids,
an overnight visit to the grill, Mike.
And unfortunately, the kids' participation. You know, that kind of negates that move. If it's just adults, then you can go, hey, I'm just kidding. But I'll be goddamn sure I know which way the wind is blowing. When I'm out there on the bay.
And also, this is not trying to be insincere or disrespectful. Have you checked the tide table?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. Because
you'll just walk out to where the water is, I suppose.
No, we're going to be at a dock. So, I mean,
you'll be at the dock.
The boats, we're not launching anything. It's not going to be.
I thought you would be behind the house.
No, we're going to be on the water.
Oh, okay.
We're going to be the water. That's the way. And it's not going to be, I guard against a big Lebowski moment. I like the fact that the balls of Adrian Garcia raising his hand during this. Yeah. I got to go to you, Diego.
I nearly
messed
my pants when I saw him raise his hand.
I like, let me ask. Yes, Diego.
So
yes, go ahead.
Remember in May when I was in Colorado, the reason I was there is to help spread a friend's dad's ashes. And we did it in the lake. So if I can recommend, Mike, you should buy some like really brightly colored flowers petals to spread with the ashes because it looks really nice. It's really pretty, and you see the flowers in the ocean.
Wow.
This is what we call a moment of clarity.
All right. Hold on. I'm kind of the responsible party for this aspect. Now, we're all taking a rose. We're going to say something, and then we're going to throw the roses out. But the idea of maybe petals within the ashes, too,
yes.
Is that what you're talking
really
about?
Really brightly colored ones, so you can see them really easily.
You're a little sweetheart. I don't know if I'll either include the roses in that or maybe do exactly what you said, but that's absolutely terrific. I think that will be a very, very cool idea. So the other thing about being up here at this particular time is that everybody is here. Everybody has arrived.
Yeah.
Everybody. You have to be careful where you drive. You have to be careful. There are so many people up here right now because this is, I guess, the New England thing. This is, by the way, probably as a child growing up, the reason we were asked to come up at the 4th of July because this is when all the real important people are up here.
The grown-ups are here, Mike. The grown-ups are here.
The grown-ups are here. You know, but it's
and you're still not recognized as a grown-up within your own family.
I am still referred to as Michael.
I can so relate. I got a hunk of relatives that say, is Robbie coming?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're still 8.
I do it. I do the Bobbies, the Billies, the Teddies. I do the same thing. I mean, that's just the way I am.
But you hate Michael.
Yeah. By the way, I've spent enough time with my cousin Teddy now I'll make a statement about something Maine, and his primary response to me is, I don't think so. Anyway, that's pretty. Because I'm wrong.
Because he's shy.
I was wrong about the McCluskey Bucks Harbor, that thing. You know, I told that story.
Yeah.
You know, I was wrong about that. It's not the same harbor. You know, I mean, I'm wrong about stuff. I'm wrong. It's like Catherine's coming up by train she's going to come up by train on Friday, and she'll get up here. I think she's taking the Downeaster from Boston to Portland, and then taking the train up to Portland to Bangor. And he's like, there is no train that goes from Portland to Bangor. I was like, oh, duh, okay. Duh,
but Mike, take some comfort. Take some comfort in the fact that he is the only man under the age of 95 that knows a train schedule by heart. Yeah, that's an old man's thing.
But everybody knows everything because everybody's always traveling.
They've lived there. They got to get there, right?
I'm
to get there
trying to
there.
Offer some comfort. Honestly.
No, there's no comfort here.
Look, I think facts. Infrastructure is challenged up here. I think that once you get north of Portland, they got to put some stuff in there. You know, I told you we went on the little kiddie train. I mean, the Downeaster, the train that like went two miles outside of Ellsworth and then came back in. I didn't even put it on my show.
You didn't need to tell us that. No, you went on a train ride?
No, I went on a train. It's called the Downeaster, and it's got all these like railroad enthusiasts on it. You know, they're volunteers.
God,
and,
I hope they're not wearing kerchiefs. Are they wearing kerchiefs?
No. They could not. I have to say this. They could not have been sweeter men. They were wonderful to my son. It was terrific. But the train goes like mile and a half out. We got to turn around now. Ding, ding, ding. And then it goes back through the station that goes on the other side. It's like, here's the depot. Got to turn around now. Ding, ding, ding. And it's like, okay. We went like half a mile and we're back in the... But it was fine. And then Carla leans over to me and says, this is 30 minutes longer than I expected. I said, okay. I get it.
Robert hates when I use the word enthusiast.
Yeah.
I said, Robert, what are you doing? He's like, you are a basketball enthusiast. Dad, I hate that word.
Enthusiast.
Yeah. Enthusiast.
Well, all I know is they put up a new, what do they call them? The warning lights at the crossing,
crossing lights.
So they put up a new one, and these two guys are having a conversation. I S you not, they're having a conversation about it. They go, that's a new one of the LEDs. I think it's an electronic sound, too. And they're like super jacked about it. And I'm going, wow, these guys, there's a reason they're here.
Yeah, train
this
porn.
Is their trip.
This is their porn.
Yes.
And I lived in Manassas. I remember one of those mooks would come
train
into
enthusiasts.
Town.
Train
you know?
Enthusiasts.
Yeah. I mean, they'd come in and say they're wearing their little conductor hats. Yeah. All right, whatever.
Did you prefer float train enthusiasts or Civil War reenactment enthusiasts?
Well, there are two different schools, but as I always said to Carla, it's certainly better than anime.
Sure. Words to live by. Words to live by.
I got up to choke. Hey, we're going to take a break. We have one of the strongest personalities of any intern ever. His name is Mike McIntosh, and he brought himself a giant computer in. We're going to have a little show and tell because I wouldn't be doing my job if I ignored that thing.
He's a boredom enthusiast.
A part of enthusiasts, yeah. I love it when I'm telling a story, busting my balls over here, and I'm getting the Statue of Liberty in the corner just going. We'll take a break and come back with more fun right after this on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey. Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Remember when you used to listen to the radio? I mean, you used to like to listen to the radio. You liked the songs. You liked the disc jockeys. You liked hearing stuff on the radio. Those days are gone, right? Wrong. Because Rob Radio is back. It's radio the way you remember it. And you can listen this Saturday morning and every Saturday morning on The Wave in Ocean City. And if you're not in Ocean City, you can listen on 971thewave.com or download their app. You can take Rob Radio anywhere you go. The Rob Spiewak Show and you, perfect together.
Rob Spiewak!
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by 5-4 Club. If you really want to look your best, there is a solution for those of you that may be stylistically challenged.
Ooh.
Oh,
it's called 5-4 Club, and they're revolutionizing. 5-4 Club is revolutionizing the way men shop. Each month, they send you a curated box of 2 to 3 items that are hand-picked to match the current season and your style. They've even been helping men with fashion for over 15 years. What do you think of that? And they ship to over 100,000 men that want to look good every month. We love our clothing at 5-4 Club. I love the fact that somebody knows what I want,
yes,
knows my size, and sends it to me where I don't have to hassle with it. They know what they're doing, so if you don't, that's okay. 5-4 Club will help you build your wardrobe one month at a time, which is important because when you look good, you feel good. That's a fact. As a 5-4 Club member, you'll also receive up to 50% off items in their online shop and access to exclusive members-only items, free shipping, and size exchanges. Go to 54club.com right now and enter promo code TMOS, and they'll give you 50% off your first month's package plus a free pair of sunglasses. That's 50% off your first package at 5-4 Club. That is spelled FIVE. FOUR club.com, promo code TMOS. That's 54club.com. BeLikeEveryMoment.com, promo code TMOS. Be like every single one of us and find out why 5-4 Club is so incredibly special. Okay, so right before the show starts, Oscar says, I guess, Mac, go out and bring that computer in here.
Yes.
And I assumed he was going to bring in a laptop.
No.
But he brought in this. It looks like the,
can we play a game?
It's this massive
tower.
What the hell is this thing? What's
so I would say 2 weeks ago. No, it feels like 3 weeks ago now.
Make it a month.
A month ago, Dominique Foxworth, our friend from the show, gifted me a VR headset and computer. This is the computer that came with the VR headset. Right?
Lucky.
And
lucky.
I somehow, when I was trying to set it up, bricked it. And by brick, I mean I did something wrong. It just wasn't working. So I had Mac.
Is that what the kids say when they break something?
Yes.
Is that what the kids say when they download porn and it locks up their computer?
I didn't even get on the web. That's how early in the process it was. It was just installing the software.
Okay. All
right. And I had Mac over to the house to fix it. It was one of those jobs that...
In your home?
In my home.
Wow.
Where we left Mac at the house. It's almost like you leave the house. You're like, I put one of the security cameras on Mac.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like you set off a bug fogger.
Yes.
You start it and it fills the house with poisonous gas, but you have to leave to let it do its work. Yeah.
Came
so
back.
You were in there, you were in the house, and he was in the house at the same time?
But yes. And you can save that again because I left the house and I left him alone, which was definitely something I didn't know I was going to do.
Mr. Santana, the calls are coming from within the house.
Oh, my God.
And I said, no sniffing panties.
Hey!
I know where you are.
Oh, right. Or boxer very shorts.
Scary. So I put a camera on him. I said, I can watch you anytime. You stay in this room. So...
You didn't lock him in or anything?
No.
Oh, it's good.
About 2 hours go by. I come back. It's dark now. Mac's still in my house working on this computer. And I said, Mac, it's time for you to go. Take the computer with you.
At any time when he left, was there a chalk outline of a body on your floor?
So, I'll give credit to Mac. He'd had this computer ready, I think, a week ago. It's been a while since we've seen each other because he's got this new job and he's being responsible. So he finally brought it in today. Today.
Oh, that's
a month
wonderful.
Later.
Sure.
What's the turnaround at Micro Center where you work now?
It's about 4 days.
4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Why a month for Santana? Why a month?
Well, I picked it
Why'd
up.
Why'd it take so long, pal?
Well, I picked it up 2 weeks ago after Tech 411. I didn't pick it up after that
nice
moment. We did Tech 411 and then I...
Did what?
We did Tech 411.
Better.
Tech 411.
No, don't get cute, jackass. Just say the number.
Now, don't pick on
don't
the
be
week.
Rude. Don't, be rude.
Don't pick on the week, okay?
Me.
You're a bully.
I am.
And then what happened?
Bullying is never okay.
So I finished it probably by that Wednesday, but then I had a work schedule mishap.
Oh, mishap?
A mishap, so sure. I wasn't able to even get in here until today.
Did it prevent you from doing Tech 411?
Yeah.
Don't pick on the week.
Max had a rough few weeks.
Yes.
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry about your dog.
Lifestyle changes.
Yeah, sorry about
your sorry about
your
dog,
pooch.
Mac. That
Thank
sucks.
You.
That's
yeah.
terrible.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry about that.
Thank you.
Can we make a
Come on, let's move on.
Okay.
Let's move on or it's going to get really
can
bad.
Can we make a concerted effort to not come into a segment with a dead dog story
<That's right.
laughs> one more time?
And what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see?
Right.
We're all very sorry about your pup, Mac.
Sorry,
thank
buddy.
You.
Yeah, and, even some of us knew who texted when you
so
texted.
So once again, why did it take so long?
It didn't take that long. It took me 2 days, but I just didn't get a chance to come back in to bring
so
it in.
So it did take long.
No, it took 2 days.
The delivery ends the end of the repair.
I texted him. I could have brought it in.
Will you stop being so hard?
And the what I did, nitpicking. What was wrong, is I paid him up front.
Oh, you know that's
never
wrong.
Never gave the money up
no,
front.
No.
Never gave the money up front.
I was ready to bring it to him over the weekend, but he said, just bring it in.
We'll yeah, I didn't to see you on my weekend.
Yeah, you know, I'm ready to lose weight.
So you've gotten it now, Oscar, but you haven't test driven it.
You got to plug it. Plug it in and see what happens. What
got to plug it.
What do you think, Mac? Am I going to be riding in style or am I going to have to call you again for some help?
No, I got everything updated. It's running smooth.
Okay.
Oh, so you have a weekend, right? I mean, are you going to have time?
I have a weekend. I have this. I have everything. Like, I'm going to make I'm making time, Mike. I'm making time.
So are you going to be able to log some quality weekend
time
with your
brand new computer?
Yes, I'm back
on
Overwatch.
Okay. Starting tomorrow night.
And he can
and
Google
the weekend.
And go to IMDb.
Will you do any other computer stuff VR, with this new
Schmosker Fantana got on a Reddit thread to find out how he could look at adult entertainment.
Yeah.
And he shared that information with Oscar.
I love the unspoken conversation just had with Mike, where Mike essentially just said, are you going to do anything this weekend that's going to involve a deadbolt?
Yes.
Because you're going to be locking all the doors in your home. Trust me, Mac will not be to the house this weekend.
So we'll see. We'll do that for show prep, Mike. I got to do some investigating. So is
this, let me ask this computer question. Is this basically Mac going to be Oscar plugs this thing in, gets connected to the internet, and bingo, he's good to go. It's not going
to
be that complicated.
Correct.
How much malware have you put on there to track what I'm doing?
I did not put anything on there. All I did was I tried to install Steam, but I need your password.
Steam?
Yeah.
What's Steam? Dare
you? Oh, that's the thing that you need
to
use for
VR. That's
what
runs VR. Virtual reality. Steam is basically your marketplace, your hub for virtual reality.
So that, it looks to me like a massive
computer. You could launch a Russian nuke.
Yeah,
it's a big, big computer. Yes. And
it's got a window in it so you can see the inside because it's all got guts in it.
Now,
what's the purpose of the window, by the way?
It's just styling. That's all it is.
When it's on, there's LEDs and stuff.
There's like red LEDs. It looks like you're doing something nefarious, which I will be.
Okay. Yes. All right. Very good. That's exciting.
I like
the lights. How is your new job going?
It's going great. I've been there a little over a month now. Everything's going really well. I love the money.
Money.
That's wonderful. Yes.
Have there been any merry mix-ups, any funny situations at your job? Because I watch Superstore on NBC, and I can only imagine all the funny stuff that's going on.
Is that a good show, Superstore?
No, Robert likes it.
But, is it going well, Mac?
It is going very well, yeah. Just a little short-staffed now, but we had a little... Well, there was a mix-up where
Jesus Christ,
I was...
I swear to God, I feel like I'm going into some sort of vortex when I talk to you. So it's going okay, though?
Would you tell the story better if we installed Steam in you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mac, enough about you, more about us.
Yes.
Okay.
What type of discount are you going to get us?
Ka-ching!
Wait a minute, Mac. Shut up for a second. You know you're stressing him out now. You know you're going to freak him out. Mac, look at me.
Yes.
Look at me. Are you looking at me at the computer?
Yes.
Are you looking at this one or that one? Which one do you want to look
Either
at?
Either one. I'll look at the camera.
Yeah. All right, look at the big one, okay? And Mac, don't worry about that. You don't have to do that. You look at me. Look. Look at me. You don't have to do that. That's not... No one needs a discount. Okay,
full discount.
It's not
the family one.
They're trying to mess with you. What did Rob
30%.
Write down?
I just wrote just a little note.
30%. What is the biggest perk about working at your computer store? What is the best thing outside of the money for working at the computer store?
Just seeing all the computers around. I love looking at computers. Oh,
you love computers.
Yeah. Oh, and
he's found a home. What did he hand you? What was he trying to hand
he
you?
He said
that you fended off there. I've got to ask. I can't.
Rob said that Mac said his favorite thing is the trim.
And he gave you that. That's pretty dangerous. I would have used that.
But I've been to Micro Center. There is no trim.
No, never.
It's all dudes.
So is this this store? Do you want to give them a plug? Because I've never been. Is this just for all things computer if you go into Micro Center?
All things computer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cables that, when there are cables that no one else sells,
yeah,
and I need them in a heartbeat and I can't go through Amazon, I go straight to Michael Center.
So it kind of helps the show then.
Oh, it does. Pony lives there. Why is he so pale?
Most of our studio is actually built from stuff from Micro Center.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a guy. We got an in now there.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Full discount.
And is it actually owned by Mike Rowe?
Sure.
I thought so. A lot of not people know this.
Here's your cable, ma'am. Let me say, the thing is... That's a dirty job. Mac?
Yes.
This is I have to ask this, and maybe the guys are thinking about it, maybe they're not. But I have to ask you about upward mobility, not being in a dead-end situation. Since you're a bit of a savant with computers, do you see yourself, is there growth potential in this gig?
Because
you may have found a home, my friend. I love that answer.
Yes.
No, you don't need to add on to
Finally.
That. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking.
I'm proud of you.
I'm looking to become a technician within about 3 months.
Yeah, he's on the management track.
Because right now I'm working like front end with customers mainly, but I like to get the technician job, which is a step up where you actually get to work on the
computer.
Your
hands get dirty.
Yeah, the front end is where all the trim is.
Is it more money, Mac?
It's a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
But it's more just fun.
Are you hourly?
Yeah, I gotcha.
No, I'm full-time.
Oh, you full-time are? Good hourly, for you. Yes. That's awesome.
I love this.
Yeah,
I
great.
Am I wrong in thinking he's found his niche here?
I'll tell you something.
This is his world.
This is not only his world and his niche, but also impossible without this show, and I look forward to the gratitude that we are going to get as he progresses
with
up
the ladder. With the full discount.
How are mom and dad doing?
Oh, they're doing
with this.
Fine. They're great. I mean, I've just been so busy because I'm working 40 hours. Oh, I hardly ever see him.
That's 40 hours that he's not in the house anymore.
Oh, you're parked in a grocery store lot, just hanging out.
Exactly.
Is the tennis instructor blind with jealousy?
I don't know. I don't talk to him much.
Oh,
my God.
That's his brother. All right. Thank you. That's wonderful. Another stimulating segment. We'll do that in 3 to 6 months again, get an update.
When he needs another job?
3 months. <you. laughs> That's funny. We'll do that. Take a break. Come back. Hey, guess what? It's Friday, and that means it's Oscars Take,
Oscars
ladies
take.
And gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Oscars Take.
Oscars Take. So this is what
you meant. Throughout history, man has sought the ability to conquer all things. He conquered nature, medicine, his enemies. But one thing always eluded him. Man could not conquer time. Until now. Thanks to the new Mike O'Mara Show app, time has become man's minion. When you listen to TMOS on the new app, traveling back in time is as easy as hitting rewind. Stop time in its very tracks, just by hitting pause. And if you want to travel into the future, where God knows what awaits you, a simple fast forward will get you there, if you dare. Plus, you can stream the show live as it happens thanks to TMOS Live. You can control time. As long as you take the time to download the app and make sure you are running the updated version on time. Do it now! The updated TMOS app. Your passport to a great time. In the past, the present, and the future. Plus, TMOS Live. Always on, always there. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Morgan. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by the TMOS Bonus Packages. Oh, do we have a mosquito problem up here in Maine?
Really?
They're just thick. The sun goes down, and those little suckers come out of the pine trees, and I will tell you something. They are a pain. They're useless. Yeah. All they do is land on you when you're not looking, and if you don't have bug repellent on, they suck the blood right out of your arm. They're horrible. It's disgusting. It disgusts me. I have no use for them. Just like I have no use for the average insect that listens to The Daily Show and doesn't buy the Mike O'Mara Show bonus package.
Right.
The bonus show makes it possible. TMOS, the whole thing. That's the bonus show.
It's
so important to this. That's the truth. Don't be a mosquito. Don't be a blood-sucking mosquito that carries viruses. Ugh. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the Mike O'Mara Show Bonus Hour. Besides, you don't know what you're missing if you don't subscribe. It's the most fun we have. We had a great one this week.
Fun.
Just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS to continue for many years to come. So please, quit sucking and get the Mike O'Mara Show Bonus Hour, ladies and gentlemen. And now... it's time for Oscars Take.
Oscars Take!
A review and a comment on the news of the day that may or may not affect you, as only our Bolivian Bloviator can do it. The opinions expressed are solely Oscar Santana's and do not represent the views of the Mike O'Mara Show, its listeners, or the majority of right-thinking citizens of the United States. And now... Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar, our elements. I stand them up. I truly stand them. Right? Am I overstating maybe any podcast in the country?
No.
Oh, no. We are rich. Type. We are element
Thank
rich.
You. We do.
You know what we are? Yeah. We are element enthusiasts.
Thank you. Great news, Oscar. Oscar's. Great news, especially if you've got more heart than cash. And I'd venture to say most of us fall into that category. A new study out of Carnegie Mellon University, Oscar, in Pittsburgh, found that it's better to give a sentimental gift than a superficial one, even if the sentimental one is a lot cheaper. In other words, a concert T-shirt from your first concert is better than an iPad. The researchers found that people overwhelmingly preferred sentimental gifts. So when you think of one, trust your gut and buy it. That's,
gentlemen, that's it. This is complete BS. People want things they can return to the store for cash. It's called assets. All right. I won't. I'm not sitting there on Christmas saying I love this to everything because I love it. No. If you took the time to think about me, that's awesome. Odds are I already have it. And I'm going to return it and get the store credit, get something else.
There you go. Okay, I agree with it. I might. Yeah, Oscar's sake. Oscar, according to Rob, do you agree with him? I agree with him.
I think so, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that's 100%.
Fair. Yes, get me a t-shirt. I have enough t-shirts.
You know, the password is gift receipt.
Yeah. By the way, this weekend, and I want to say it, but I'm going to a particular social event, which probably requires a bit of a GIFT, and I'm doing the GAG gift as
gift
opposed
card?
To because
no a gag yeah, gift
but, oh gag gift
but only after I got a legitimate one
there you go, Mike's take.
Thank you, Oscar. According to a new report, 41% of us would rather get more vacation days than a raise. 59% of us would take the money, which seems low. Apparently, we value our free time more than I thought. 39% of people said they don't think they currently get enough vacation days compared to other people they know, but 30% of us still feel guilty when we take time off. 42% have thought about skipping a vacation because it would mess with the company's workflow, and just under a quarter of bosses admit they expect people to do at least some work while they're on vacation. What is your take on that?
This goes back to the land of the lazy. Where
my house is.
If you really think about, and I'm talking to everybody within earshot of this podcast, this radio show, if you really think about it, how much work do you do during your 8-hour workday? Like really, like when you're not on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or searching the web for a story or a gadget or ordering your appliances, which is fine if you're doing through the Amazon tab on michaelmarishow.com.
There you go.
Really, the vacation you're given, I mean, it would mean more to you if you actually were a little more productive at work. You essentially would have a vacation from work and not have to deal with all this other stuff, barring you're a doctor and you got to get a patient to call, if you actually worked the hours you were given to work.
Who do we have that has a major vacation coming up on the show? I'm trying to think. Rob.
Yeah, I have.
You've got a vacation coming up on the show. What are your plans to make it a working vacation?
Absolutely. I'll be in every day, just late. Because Oscar works really hard, and he comes in late, so I'm guessing that's the way to do it.
There you go. This man is lying. Thank you very much.
Rob's take.
By the way, if I'm being real and not a complete dick, vacations are fun, but even when I get back from vacation, I'm like, it wasn't that great. They're never like so spectacular that
I will say this.
Like, I'm refreshed.
This is a fun job to come back to.
Yeah, because, this is. Yes. I'm talking about real world Joe jobs.
Real work. Yeah, real work. This is not a job. We're
this is a
marks.
Dream job.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit the sound.
Everybody's take. There we go.
Oscar, does becoming good friends with people at work make you more productive, or do you just end up? What did he say? What did he do again?
He had to do the double.
He repeated it like I would repeat Oscar's take when you said it. So I said everybody's take.
Everybody's take.
Character voice.
We might have to let Tony have Oscar's take for the rest of this segment.
Oh, I love it.
Would you be willing to give it up?
I would love it.
All right.
You're listening to Oscar's take.
Same one twice. That was good.
It was a bit of a delay.
Yeah, give it back to Rob. He didn't know what was happening. Yeah, Rob.
No, he didn't pay attention.
No. He zoned out. No.
Oscar, does becoming good friends with people at work make you more productive, or do you just end up goofing off all day? In a new survey, almost 2/3 of employees said it does make them more productive. 62% said it boosts productivity. 25% said no effect. 10% said it makes them less productive. What say you?
I absolutely agree. I think that it makes them more productive. I'm on that camp simply because you create buy-in into your network of friends.
Sure.
And you can, what's better than sitting around the water cooler bitching about all the work you all have to do, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Like, yep. So you're in absolutely. The foxhole together.
Yeah.
Now, that line can be blurred when you start sleeping with your coworkers.
Mm. Don't bang them.
Because that dynamic changes everything, because not everybody can sleep with her or him.
Right.
Like, then you become another team within a team, and that creates strain.
Very strained.
Yeah.
Yes, very, very strained in a situation like that. Thank you very much.
Oscar's
you're listening.
I'm sorry.
You said it for. What's going on here?
Pony threw me off.
Okay. Yeah, it's my fault.
Pony, so as soon as I say Oscar's take, you're
second
right
chance.
There with it.
Okay. And
you think you can handle it?
I can handle this.
Timing is everything. There is no delay. It's only in your mind.
Right.
What?
You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
There you go.
A new survey found, Oscar, that 18-year-old drivers take more risks than 16-year-old drivers do. I know. It's more fun to interrupt the host. 49% of high school sophomores and sometimes use their phones behind the wheel, compared to 67% of seniors. And older kids also are twice as likely to speed, Oscar.
Take a page out of Mama Santana's book, right? She bought something else from QVC and that she doesn't need, but I actually applauded her where I said, oh, this makes sense. I jumped in her car. She's got a camera underneath her rear view mirror that faces forward and backward. So like an Uber driver, except for an old lady, she gets to drive around and she gets a chronicle every drive she has. And now
she actually does that.
She's familiar
enough with the technology where she's able to pull that off.
They made
it
dummy proof. I jumped in the car. It was already set up.
Wow.
Real.
And
unbelievable.
I saw this, and as soon as I saw it, I said, you know who needs this? Julia Spiewak. Kids.
Yes, that's right. We should probably make it Rob's take.
Rob's take.
Rob Pony. Doesn't want to do it. I asked him. I said, dude, you got to get a camera for your child's car. He goes, I trust her. She's a good kid.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand how this is.
You know, do you understand? Wouldn't it have been funny if you went Rob's take?
Yeah, it would have. Yeah. I understand that. You do. Even Oscar does.
It's the talk triangle.
No, you're not good at that part. Yeah, what you're good at is like hunting and pecking and going, Mike has two houses. Anyway, that's the way that goes.
Yeah, but I would.
Your memory is sensational.
Mike, when little Michael gets to driving age, wouldn't you think that a camera in the car would keep him in line?
I think just like body cams on police officers, I think putting a camera in the car is completely
stops
legit.
Stops them from speeding, partying, having sex in the car, all kinds of things.
Yeah, and when you're talking about 18-year-olds and under living in your house, the privacy issues go out the window.
Yeah,
you're
true.
Trying to keep people alive. I am all in.
Yeah.
I think this is a huge idea, and I think this is something that will be an incredible solution to make sure kids don't. Because, look, you get a pack of kids. Well, there are states that have
We've
laws
We've all done
it.
Dumb things. I've done this.
Oh, I've done the dumbest stuff that I risked my life when I was a teenager in an automobile with Joey Pacekin and I riding up Hebron Avenue and almost getting into a head-on collision. Yeah. It was foolish. So what say you? You've got the teenage driver.
I will.
Maybe putting a camera in her car would be a good idea?
I think that if Julia had a camera in her car, all she'd do is smile at it all the time, like do selfies. She's a pretty vain kid. I will consider it based on the fact that you think it's valid on your mother.
Take your insurance rates down as well.
Absolutely. You know what? Jolie's take.
And finally, Oscar, Kristen Stewart. We talked about her in yesterday's show. She's been on a chick kick lately.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean she won't go back to dating men. She tells the British edition of Harper's Bazaar that she's open to whatever. Because this is her quote, who wants grilled cheese all the time?
She
says, quote, some people know that they like grilled cheese and they'll eat it every day for the rest of their lives. I want to try everything. If I have grilled cheese once, I'm like, that was cool. What's next? That's Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're looking for someone that wants grilled cheese all the time, gentlemen, look at Rob Spiewak. He is okay with clearly being.
Hey, it's Oscar's take. Let him do whatever the hell he wants.
Oscar's take.
Pony?
Yes, Mike?
Oscar,
they did it twice. I can't do it a third time. They did it twice.
You're a moron.
They did it twice. They did it twice.
Okay, that's for
that
everybody.
Triple.
That's for the 89% of our audience that goes, oh, so scary funny.
They
all right,
did it twice. I can't
Thank
do
you.
It a third time.
Mike, well right, done, George
that
Bernard Shaw.
The rules.
As far as Martin. Kristen Stewart is concerned, I'm looking for the day
show.
Where I'm looking for the day when you know how like we all kind of get ramped up when a girl is like, oh, I'll eat grilled cheese. I won't eat grilled cheese. Whatever they're into. Right.
Right.
They can swing both ways. When are we going to get to the date? And I think we're close where guys can just la-di-da that out. Or like, I'm into dudes. I'm into chicks. I don't know what's going on. You know?
Yes, exactly.
Like, we're going to get there. We need a quality. So I'm into what Kristen Stewart's doing. I think dudes should get into that a little more. Just saying.
Like go both ways.
Yeah. And be open about it.
Wow, that's pretty.
That
impressive.
Is a very
that's
bold good. Take yeah. by Oscar.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. Well, you were listening, Pony. You were listening to Oscar's take.
Oscar's take.
Thank you very much. There we go. That's it. We got to take a break. When we come back,
you know, it wouldn't kill you to eat a grilled cheese sandwich.
Maybe I will.
We'll have the little audio vault coming up here at the end of the week with Rob Spiewak right after this, everybody.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Zoolander came over, he Ubered over to my house a couple weeks ago, and then when he was cresting alcoholically, he said, you know, it's really not a big deal that you didn't go to my wedding. However, it's been over a year, or almost a year. I want you to watch my wedding video.
He was drunk.
He was plastered. And he said, now I want to warn you, do you have any Kleenex? Because I'm going to cry. He's just the guy I get along with so well. I said, I can literally bring you Kleenex, Zoo, if you want it, but you're not going to cry. He said, I swear I'm going to cry. And I said, all right. So we hit it, and there's, you know, like, the bride is getting ready, and there's a picture of him putting his tie on. And I look over, and he's going...
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show, because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, we are proud to announce the debut of a brand new source for all your voiceover needs. Introducing MikeOvo.com.
That's not how you say it.
MikeOvo.
Oh, well, what?
MikeOvo.
Oh, let me, all right, hold on. Let me read it properly. MikeOvo.com. Now yes. It's a cinch to make any voiceover sound the best it can be. MikeOvo.com brings you one click away from the golden tones of Mike O'Mara. That's me.
Woo! Mike's take.
Whether you need a classic announcer, a character voice, or one of his signature celebrity impressions.
Charles Boyer.
Keep throwing them at me, Rob. I got a million of them.
Oh, okay. Do James Garner. Jeffrey Goldblum. All perfect. I love it.
Mike specializes in commercials, radio promos, and imaging.
That was imaging. Audiobooks. What you just heard was imaging.
Narration of any kind. High quality audio with a fast turnaround time. If you can write it, Mike can voice it and bring it to life. Just go to MikeOvo.com and contact us today. That's MikeOvo.com. And let Mike do the talking. One more, Rob. Throw one more at me. I know I can do it. Here we go. All right, here we go.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. The phone is ringing off the hook.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Big Show, Sal. Everybody. Give me the keys. Thank you. I just opened up the audio vault. What do you have for us today?
First, a fond farewell to someone who summered with us. Today is Emmy's last day as our intern.
Oh, Emmy.
Emmy.
Emmy, come over to the camera. Let me have
why don't we switch out here? Come on, you. Come on over here. Come on over
let's,
here.
Let's say farewell to Emmy. Let's let her come over there. One
as you know, she we lost her for a week when she went to Japan, but yes. She decided not to with the dual citizenship. She declined it, and she is kind enough to summer with us. And also, Emmy, the first intern we ever got based on a promo. She was that sort of forward-thinking type. She called because of the Bill O'Reilly promo. That's what got us in touch. So thank you, Emmy.
Emmy, I've said this about our interns, and this is no casting no aspersions on Diego and Mac and Dan O'Brien, but it's just a fact of life. Our interns, our female interns, are brighter than our male interns, and
always.
That's just a reality. How have you found your experience on the Mike O'Mara Show?
I've loved it. It's been really cool to hang out in a radio station that isn't a college radio station, so I've learned a lot about what the industry is more realistically like, which is cool. So
that's good. That's a good thing. That's good. And you head off to where are your travels going to be taking you? Back to school?
Back to school in South Carolina. Back to WUSC. So I'm excited to get back there and translate this experience.
Let me ask this.
Millennials
speak. We train you in in copy and all the little nuts and bolts of computerese and all that, but Emmy, do you think you return to the land of the Gamecocks as a funnier individual?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Hopefully, because I wasn't very funny to begin with. So
that's a funny answer, though.
It is. And
see, she doesn't know it, but that's a funny answer.
Remember, she some of the lines that I remember are marvelous, but we'll always have the fact that Dominique Foxworth really tried to bully her last week.
Oh, he did.
And she held up just fine.
She did indeed. Good luck to you. Come back and visit us and spread the word with your classmates. We're always looking for great interns on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Right.
So spread the word. Love to get some more South Carolina students coming in here, okay?
Love it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Emmy.
That's Emmy, everybody. Yay. Bye.
All right, I hate Canada, but I got to hand it to them. When an elephant is on the loose, Canadians deal with it, I think, better than Americans would.
Oh, a compliment for the Great White North. Incredible, Rob.
I do believe that they may have the elephants. Oscar's back in the room, as you can hear. You can hear.
We always know when he comes back.
Sorry.
I don't know if they're using these elephants as part of the attack, but an elephant broke out of a pen.
Like Kramer.
And was walking walking the streets of Canada, and these are actual 911 calls and cops talking about an elephant on the... This is a big elephant.
Police communications, Elliot.
We've found an elephant walking down the street near the community center, the Ray 20.
First?
We found an elephant walking down the street.
First of all, the 911 operator says, "Sir," because he says, "There's an elephant by my house."
And by, can we stop it for a second? Wouldn't it be, to be more accurate, wouldn't it be, we see an elephant or we discovered an elephant? Not like they were out there and they woke up and they're eating their Canadian Cheerios and they go, "You want to go elephant hunting today?" You know, we found an elephant. You know, not like somebody called them and said, "Hey, excuse me, how you doing, Peter?" "Yes, Mom, I'm going out today. Can you look for my elephant?" You know, I mean, I think
we've been in this neighborhood for 10 years. Every day we look for elephants, we haven't found
never
one.
Find it
today is different. Today was different.
The ones from like the circus, one of them got loose and it's walking down the street.
How big are we talking here?
Like full-grown elephant. It's like the ones that like to have at like the circus that like the people ride on and stuff.
Right.
One of my friends is like, it's following him, and he's leaning it back there. But they're huge.
We'll see what we can do here.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
If there's any time clear in Newmarket, we have a report of an elephant currently walking down Eagle Street from Ray 20 Complex.
The elephant is on Eagle Street. I want to play you a little more of the call because a phrase comes up that I really like.
We've located the elephant on Crossland Gate. Apparently, somebody has led one of the elephants back to the tent. There's one standing here at the intersection, and there's one still outstanding, last seen traveling northbound on Crossland Gate.
The phrase that keeps coming up is an elephant outstanding.
One outstanding elephant.
But you can Google this and listen. It's about a 7-minute
That's awesome.
Adventure. But they have tape of elephants just walking down the street. And they're massive. They look bigger in real life, like on a street, than they do in a circus tent because they're so out of context.
They have to be careful up in Canada, too, because you might have to come down for elephant soup after.
Damn you! Damn you!
Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Just move forward.
Just move forward.
Forward progress, OCD.
All right.
No problem.
Gizmodo, it's a website, has come up with the 10 funniest words in the English language. I bring you the top 5. I can't say one of them on the radio. At number 6, Mike.
Twit.
Oh. All right.
If you go to Merriam-Webster.com, I believe, you can actually download pronunciation. So this is the Merriam-Webster voice. The 6th funniest word in English.
Twit.
The number 5?
Nitwit.
I do like nitwit.
Nitwit is good.
Nitwit.
At number 4?
Hooter.
What? Hold on. Is that with a C?
No.
H.
Like the restaurant where you get the wage.
Oh, I thought it was the other one.
No, at number 4?
Hooter.
That's nice. At number Hooter. 3?
Booby.
Don't confuse it with?
Hooter.
Because number 3 is?
Booby.
And number Booby. 2 I can't say, but it is a 3-letter word used to, as Mr. Liddy would say, to describe the secondary sexual characteristic of the female form. It's a T word.
Ah.
You can't say that, but you can say.
So does that bring us to number 1?
Number 1.
Okay.
The funniest word in the English language, according to Gizmodo, is...
Booty.
Booty. Booty.
Shake, shake, shake. Shake, shake, shake. Shake your...
Salute booty.
Kirk McEwen listening, I love you, buddy. Thank you. The booty. Booty.
Oh, what that was a great song.
Booty Call.
It was by... give me 1 second. I know
he did something booty. I forgot.
It was a Friday feature, wasn't it?
Yes,
a regular...
Booty call.
Booty
something.
It was.
It's booty time. It was booty.
Pirate.
No,
booty.
Mike, it was Tim Wilson's Booty
Okay,
Man.
The show's plane's in the air. The landing goes up.
This is Tim Booty Wilson in the Booty Club.
Seriously makes me break into a cold sweat when you play that.
Thank you. Well, you know what? Right. I want to say hi to Jeff Shamrock. Good guy. Let's close with this. Oh, my God. Huge donut nose news. Uh-oh. And I am a donut nose. This is Seth Meyers. This is a game changer, this donut.
Krispy Kreme announced it will release a limited edition Reese's donut with Reese's peanut butter cream filling dipped in chocolate icing and topped with a chocolate and peanut butter drizzle. Wow. It used to be only prisoners got to choose their last meal.
That's your magic audio vault. Nice. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you very much, Rob Spiewak. We appreciate that. That's it, people. Thanks for joining us for another episode of TMOS. Don't forget to update our brand new app today and unlock the live 24/7 TMOS stream. All messages for our mailbag, Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. Our mailing address is TMOS, Box 32, 101, Washington, D.C., 2007. Thanks for listening and join us again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Oscar's turn.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Twit.
Nitwit.
Hooter.
Booby. Booty.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.